There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Tuesday, September the 2nd. I saw someone post on social media just yesterday, day before yesterday, what's the biggest differences between Lutheranism and Calvinism? How do you begin to answer a question like that? One way is to look at what is the organizing principle of both of those confessions of faith. And there, at the very outset, you see quite clearly that they have two completely different organizing principles. What are they? And what are the ramifications of that? What is it? How does the difference between Lutheranism and Calvinism bring about two very, very different, although superficially similar, very, very different theologies? Joining us to talk about Calvinism on this Tuesday afternoon, Pastor David Mummy. He's pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Waterville, Minnesota, and author of an article in the latest Lutheran Witness magazine titled Being a Calvinist. David, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you, Todd, and it's a pleasure to be on with you.
You say that it matters what you put in the middle. What do you mean by that?
Well, when a Lutheran pastor goes to seminary, he's taught to evaluate other theological traditions based upon two things. The first one is called the formal principle. That is, what is the source and the norm of the doctrine of that tradition? And the second thing is called the material principle. That is, what lies at the center of that tradition? What lies at the center of a theological tradition often, always, I would say, shows itself in all the other areas of their theology. So if you put the wrong thing in the center, you're going to get all the other points wrong as well.
So what does Calvinism put in the middle? What does it put in the center?
Calvinism puts the sovereignty of God in the middle. And that word sovereignty is not a word that we use much outside of theological circles. It really means that God's will, His power, lies at the center of all things.
So is there something wrong with the concept of God's sovereignty?
No, not at all. God is almighty, all-powerful, and certainly God's will is also a source of theology that we draw off of as well. God has a will, and His will is good and gracious, as we Lutherans would say.
So what ought to be at the center? If Calvinism errs and kind of, as you've said, the root of many of its errors in terms of theology is that it puts the sovereignty of God and God's sovereign will at the center. What should be at the center?
The scriptures put Jesus at the center, and therefore, rather than emphasizing especially God's power and God's sovereignty, the scriptures emphasize God's mercy and God's grace in Christ for sinners.
So, good. These things are not, it's not an either-or, either sovereignty or mercy.
Correct. That is absolutely correct. It's really more of a question of what is your overriding assumption going to be? What is it that you're going to make the heart and center of your teaching? And for the answer to that question, we have to look to the Holy Scriptures. And the Scriptures are all about Jesus and what God has done for us in Christ.
So let's kind of explore where this manifests itself in Calvinist theology. If the center of its theology is the sovereign will of God, how does this take us through some of the teachings where this manifests itself in Calvinism?
basically, the idea of God's sovereignty as it's understood in Calvinism is that what God wills is what happens. And also the corollary of that, whatever happens, happens because God wills that it happens. Usually, Calvinist theology is summarized in what are called the 5 points of Calvinism. I'm sure some of your listeners are familiar with the mnemonic TULIP. Basically, Calvinism teaches the T, total depravity, that after the fall into sin, every person is entirely enslaved to sin. And understood correctly, I would say Lutherans would agree with that. The second point of TULIP theology is unconditional election. And this is where we would begin to run into big problems with Calvinism. The idea here is that since we know from the scriptures and from our own experience that some people are saved and some people end up condemned, that God must will the salvation of some and the condemnation of others. So unconditional election would teach that from eternity God chose those who would end up in heaven and those who would end up in hell. There God's will takes precedence over what the scriptures have to say about Christ and what God's will is for us in Christ. But I would say the biggest problem in Calvinist theology is the third point of TULIP theology, and that's the limited atonement. The thinking is that if God chose some to be saved and others to be condemned, then Jesus' death on the cross can't be for everyone, but is simply for those who have been predestined to eternal salvation. So Jesus' death on the cross is not, as John the Baptist says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world," but rather, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the elect." At the center, Jesus and his death and resurrection for sinners gets moved out of the way for this idea that what happens must happen at God's will, therefore those who are condemned must be condemned because God wants them to be condemned, and therefore Jesus didn't die for everyone. The other 2 points of TULIP theology are irresistible grace. The idea here is that if you have been elected to eternal life, then when God's grace comes to you, it is irresistible. You can't possibly say no to God. And I think the converse of that is that if you were elected to eternal condemnation, that you don't have the possibility even of repenting or believing in the gospel. And then the final point is perseverance of the saints. And the idea there is that one who has been elected to eternal life cannot possibly fall away, because God has already declared in his eternal sovereignty that that person will be saved. And so no matter what happens in that person's life, that person will be saved.
So it sounds like, kind of coming back to your first point, Calvinism's root problem of making God sovereign will, the organizing principle of its theology, in essence, seeks to protect God's sovereignty at all costs, even the cost of the Bible's clear teaching that Christ died for all.
Yes, that's exactly right. I guess if we were to play amateur psychologist, Calvin trained as a lawyer before he became a religious leader, and it seems in his writing and in his way of thinking that an organized system must take precedence over everything else. And I think Luther was comfortable with seeming contradictions in the scriptures. For instance, that God desires all people to be saved, that God sincerely offers salvation to all people, that he calls all to repentance and faith, but that not all people come to repentance and faith. For Calvin, I don't think such a paradox is allowable, even if it does contradict the scriptures with where it leads you.
We're talking with Pastor David Mummey about Calvinism on this Tuesday afternoon, September the 2nd. When we come back, more with him on that subject, and then Hank Hanegraaff of the Bible Answer Man radio program on the beliefs and the influence of Joel Osteen. Stay tuned.
All theology is Christology. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Have you recently graduated from high school or college and are still making up your mind about your future career? Here's an opportunity to serve your neighbor through an extended, uniquely Lutheran service program. It's called the Lutheran Youth Corps. Find out more about the Lutheran Youth Corps at lcms.org/youthcorps. Life together through witness and mercy, the Lutheran Youth Corps. lcms.org/youthcorps.
Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Duluth, Minnesota would like to invite you to join us Sunday mornings at 9:30. Whether you are visiting our beautiful city or live here, we have liturgical worship that shares Jesus with you. We're easy to find at 20th Avenue East and Superior Street, and also offer Bible classes at 8:25 Sunday mornings with Sunday school September through May. Check out our website for other Bible study times, visit or call 218-724-2500.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about Calvinism, its beliefs and its practices. Pastor David Mummey is our guest. A little bit later, Hank Hanegraaff is going to join us, president of the Christian Research Institute and host of the national radio talk show called The Bible Answer Man. He's actually got a forthcoming book called The Osteenification of American Christianity, and he's authored a cover story in the latest Christian Research Journal titled Osteenification and What It Portends. We'll talk about the beliefs and influence of Joel Osteen. Pastor Mummey, before the break, you were talking about the Lutheran, it's not so much a comfort, but it's an acceptance of paradoxes, that is, apparent contradictions in Holy Scripture that are not, in fact, contradictions, but paradoxes. Does this highlight a related problem with Calvinism, in addition to its attempt to protect God's sovereignty at all costs? Everything has to make sense?
Yes, absolutely, and that becomes a problem. Not only when it comes to the topic of predestination, but it becomes a big problem also when it comes to the topic of the sacraments. Another saying that is attributed to Calvinism is the idea that the finite is not capable of the infinite, that the body of Jesus is not capable of being present in many places at one time. Even though Jesus says, this is my body, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. It's the idea that everything has to line up in nice rows, or so it seems to me.
So how do we respond to this? Because we're not going to say that Calvinists are not Christians, and we're not going to say that they deny the work of Christ, although they would limit it to that group they call the elect and would not have Jesus dying for everyone. They limit the atonement. How do we deal with something that is kind of profoundly at its very root, has a fatal flaw in it, and still regard them as Christians?
Well, and that's a great question. The one thing that's very admirable about many modern-day Calvinists and Reformed Christians is that they do often take the Word of God very seriously, and they do also take doctrine very seriously in a world today that has very little time for such things. My answer to the question would be to always bring the conversation back to Jesus and what Jesus has done for us by his life, death, and resurrection. I think it is helpful when talking to a Calvinist to talk about what it is that lies at the center of theology, but not just of theology, but of the scriptures themselves. Always bring it back to Jesus, because Jesus is the center of the scriptures and therefore must be the center of our theology.
Talk about this also in terms of doubt and uncertainty that is introduced by putting something else, even God's sovereign will, at the center of one's theology.
That's a very good point, because if you believe that God predestined before the creation of the world some to eternal salvation and others to eternal damnation, then the obvious question is, what about me? In which group do I lie? And if Jesus died only for the sins of some and not for the sins of all, did he die for me? And ultimately, that question cannot be answered with certainty in the Calvinist way of thinking. You can get a glimpse of that, they would say, in the life that you live and in what you believe, but ultimately you can't know until you die whether you were predestined for heaven or for hell. The scriptures would have us have certainty and therefore have comfort and a sure and certain hope when we look to the future, but that hope is based in the universal atonement, the fact that Jesus paid for the sins of everyone and therefore also paid for my sins, and that God wills, desires the salvation of all people, therefore God wills and desires my salvation as well.
The Calvinist cannot say that.
That's correct, and I think you get the sense for that when you read or listen to interviews with people who have been influenced by John Calvin and his theology. I think it's well known, for instance, that Billy Graham has said in his books that even he is not sure that when he dies, he will go to heaven. One has to wait and see. Whereas a biblical Christian, a Lutheran Christian, is able to say with certainty, when I die, I will go to heaven, not because of anything I have done, but because of what Christ has done for me.
One thing I've kind of seen over the years talking to and then also about Calvinism, talking to Calvinists and talking about Calvinism, is, and there will be, inevitably, even from this interview, objections raised by Calvinist listeners who I think don't recognize the root of doubt that is sown there in the way that they've structured their theology. They don't simply, it's not that they don't want to recognize it, they don't recognize it. They say, well, you know, I am assured of my salvation, I am certain of it. They don't realize the inconsistency. What are your thoughts there pastorally?
Yeah, I would say, while that might be true of a Calvinist theologian, my guess is that in the mind of the average layperson, in hearing that Jesus died for some but not for all, especially when faced with dilemmas in my own life or with the guilt of some particular sin that I've committed or the obvious weakness of my faith at some point in my life, that I would be bound to have doubts about that. And how could I know for certain if it's a matter of God's hidden will and if it's a matter of a limited atonement that may or may not have been for me? So I would say it is probably possible for a Calvinist at a specific time to think, absolutely, I will be saved, I will go to heaven. But I would think it would also be possible at a lower point in life to question that. I don't know how it would be, how it could not be possible to question it at such a time as that.
Finally, then, do we have to, as Lutherans, in responding to the error of Calvinism, do we have to sacrifice the sovereign will of God in order to emphasize the objective and universal atonement of Christ?
No, I think that the trick is, Luther himself recognized that that we have God's revealed will in his word, and that God's hidden will, that is what God is thinking, apart from what he has revealed to us in his word, is really off limits to us as people. First of all, we have no way of knowing God's hidden will. God's revealed will is very clear in the scriptures. He speaks clearly about the topic of predestination and especially about the atonement of Christ. He says point blank that he desires all to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. He says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. And so the scriptures reveal to us God's will as a good and gracious will, a will that is for our salvation, not a cold will that makes decisions, it seems from our perspective, on a whim, but rather a God who loves us and has mercy on us in Christ.
Pastor David Mummy is pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Waterville, Minnesota, and he's author of an article in the latest Lutheran Witness magazine titled Being a Calvinist. David, thank you very much for your time.
You are welcome. It's good to talk with you.
Pastor Mummy is also a 1997 graduate of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Classes start there, I believe, next week, less than a week from now. Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana is a seminary that is training both pastors and deaconesses for services in the church. They're doing it faithful to the Lutheran confessions and in a Christ-centered, cross-focused way. You can find out more about Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana on the web, ctsfw.edu, ctsfw.edu, or give them a call toll-free, 1-800-481-2155, 1-800-481-2155, forming servants in Jesus Christ to teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all, Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. When we come back, Hank Hanegraaff is going to join us. We're going to talk about the beliefs and the influence of Joel Osteen. Stay tuned. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Grace Lutheran, Henderson, Nevada. Faith Lutheran, Orange City, Iowa. Bethany Lutheran, Fairview Heights, Illinois. Bethlehem Lutheran, North Zulch, Texas. Risen Christ Lutheran, Arvada, Colorado. Trinity Lutheran and Grace Lutheran, Wichita, Kansas. Emmanuel Lutheran, Perryville, Missouri. Risen Savior Lutheran, Basor, Kansas. St. John Lutheran, Champaign, Illinois. Trinity Lutheran, Auburn, Nebraska. Holy Trinity Lutheran, Columbia, South Carolina, Grace Lutheran, Elgin, Texas, Gethsemane Lutheran, Marion, Ohio, and St. John Lutheran, Springfield, Pennsylvania. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes a congregational sponsor, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal.
Your lifeline to the Lutheran worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
It is the greatest adventure you could ever possibly imagine. It's demanding, it's hard, it's challenging, and what a blessing it is.
Dr. Larry Rast, president of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, on why a man should consider the vocation of pastor.
And it is an incredible blessing to be honored with the opportunity to work with these incredible young men and older men as well, who are committing themselves to the proclamation of God's word, the right distinction of law and gospel, and to take the good news of Jesus Christ into all the world.
You can find out more about studying for the pastoral ministry at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ctsfw.edu or call 1-800-481-2155. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, forming servants in Jesus Christ who teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all.